Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Let's go. All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is, what is this? July, about 13th, 14th? I don't even know.
I think it's the 12th.
12th. That 12th had run through my head, too, but I thought I was wrong. We missed last week.
Or did we? Did we tape before the holiday?
Yeah, we taped before the holiday, and then the holiday came and went.
Last week is a blur. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Yeah, last week is definitely a blur. Happy July 4th.
Right.
to everybody. July 4th weekend. And it's blurry. It's blurry right now. It's blurry, but it's all good. It's all good. I'm here in Atlanta doing some work stuff I got here yesterday.
You on the road.
Yeah. So I've been on a plane a couple times in the past 7 days, so I'm a little blurry. But all good. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm safe. I'm healthy. I'm happy. Peace to everybody.
I was outside every day last week. On Monday, I went to Montclair because the 4th of July weather wasn't great. So I went to Montclair on Monday. I met a new branch of my family on my dad's side of the family, and they get it popping. They cooked out. We went through a whole bottle of Apple Crown. They are my people. I'm gonna be out there
Apple
a lot.
Crown.
Yep, I'm gonna be out there a lot. Shout out to cousin Wendy and cousin Will and them. Like Tuesday, Wednesday, like every day last week I was out, and we had a crazy weather week last week here in New York. We had a tropical storm. We had a heat wave. It was hot. It was cold. It was wet. It was dry. The sun was out. The sun was, it was a lot going on. There were 2 Pierre Moss fashion show attempts. I was at both of them. Shout out to Clark Kent, who was DJing.
Did the second one go over? The second one worked?
Did it ever? Oh my God.
It looked like it was dope.
Yeah, you have got to go online and watch it. It was stunning. And actually, what I didn't realize, I knew that the reason he was trying to do Thursday, Kirby, who was the designer,
said that they
usually don't do weekdays. He was like, we're allowing for the people. People work during the week. We do weekends. But he is the first, I hope I'm getting this right, but this is what I read. He's the first Black designer who was given a spot, or Black actual fashion house. I don't want to say designer, but Black line that was given a spot in fashion couture. I mean, in Paris Couture Week, because it's Paris Fashion Week right now. So they were live.
That could be correct, because the other Blacks are designers for fashion houses. They don't own. It's not their house.
So exactly.
That sounds right.
You're right. So the first, because I was like, it's probably not designer, but the first house. So they gave him like a live stream slot, right? So that's what they were, that's why they were trying to make Thursday happen, but they redid it for Saturday. And I think because of the fact that this was like this Black first, everything he sent down, the theme was things invented by Black people. And so you probably have seen like the chick with like the hair rollers that go down to her ankles, or somebody who looks like she has on a lampshade, hairbrush, air conditioner, you know, and it was at Madam C.J. Walker's estate. So the whole shit was just
Black.
And opened by Elaine Brown, who was the only woman who led the Black Panther Party. So it was like very fucking
Black.
As Kirby is known.
Kirby's always on some Blackness anyway.
Kirby's always on some Black shit. But it was really funny. It was really great. I saw Bev, friends of the show. I saw a lot of people actually. It was cool to be out both days. Because it was an interesting mix of people.
Yeah, Clark spun.
Clark did his thing. Because when it was raining on Thursday, people waited like 3 hours for real to see.
I mean, if you're gonna go all the way up to Tarrytown, you might as well wait as long as possible. Shit, you ain't close to the crib anyway.
Part of the area was tented where Clark was spending and where they had the food in the bar. So
yeah, so we Gucci
under the tents and yeah, chilling. Yeah, Kirby passed out weed. It was good. Yeah,
so. Love. Love, how you doing, Inka? You was on the journey too.
I was on tour, man.
You was on tour.
5 or 6 states. We had 1.5 family reunions.
Okay.
1.5.
Yeah, so we met some new family that hasn't seen Trav since he was like 4 in Connecticut.
Okay.
Met that whole side. Everybody had a family reunion on 4th of July, which was crazy. It was at a park with a giant pool. So Ivy had a good time. And then the giant pool in my parents' backyard was insane. We got rained out at the Pins game.
Water park, though.
Yeah, like, Ivy got her own shit. She got her own full-on water park. She's popping. I was kind of mad I wasn't there, actually.
There was like a slide and a canopy and a waterfall and a piece that sprinkles. And girl, what is the problem?
Well, you know, Ivy just, you know, she wanted to talk about herself. Part of the show.
Was that when Inka posted it, she went mute to ask Ivy what the fuck is the problem. But when Inka posted it, it was mad other parents posting similarly extra inflatable, like, whole ass, like,
down into my backyard. Like,
yeah, I was like, this shit is like Splash Mountain out of this motherfucking backyard. Like, I was like, what happened? I just had the little donut joint, the little circle.
Yeah, that's
and that's what I thought my mom had got when she was talking about the pool. I was like, oh, okay, cool. No, I show up got a slide. Whole experience.
I saw one with a basketball rim on the side. Mm-hmm. One where it's like you have some shit you could run under, look like a car wash, something else you could climb up the side. I was like, what is
that? You know the little ball pit they used to have in Chuck E.
Cheese?
Yeah. That was on the other side in the water.
Oh, there was a ball pit too. It was lit. It was
like,
lit.
Why even come home? So had a good time.
Bro, how was yours?
All good, man. I ain't do shit.
Chill.
We kind of preparing for Jordan to head out. So, we'll do a big, you know, going away barbecue on like the 30th or 31st.
Okay.
And then, you know, that'll kind of be, I mean, I'll do some stuff on the grill, but it wasn't crazy.
Yeah.
I ain't get busy.
Yeah.
That
you
one.
Didn't get a move out.
You didn't have an apron on and all that.
No fat boy rag.
No kiss the chef and all that.
Nah, I didn't have none of that. I didn't even have all my tools out.
Okay, yeah. It was light.
Yeah, it was super light. Super light, super easy. But yeah, for the 30th or the 31st, I can't remember the date, whatever that Saturday is.
Yeah.
That's gonna be the all out
the pop off.
Sending her off.
Okay.
I love it. Oh, yeah. I do want to give a shout out to, in case he's listening, to Marcus Samuelson.
I
took a lane by the restaurant.
You caught up with him. Was he in town?
He wasn't there, but he made sure we were good. He had been wanting to go for a really long time because, you know, Elaine lives in Oakland and she doesn't really like New York. So she, even though she's from Philly, she doesn't really like the East Coast like that. So, I guess the last times that she's been here has been back when, you know, we're coming back post COVID, but there used to be a time where you could not get a table at Red Rooster. Like,
absolutely not. Pre COVID, it was tight.
Yeah. So she was telling me that she had never been. I hit Marcus. He was kind enough to accommodate us and his people set us out. Like when we went to lunch that day and they just kept bringing us.
Bringing food. You'd be like, God damn, bro.
I ate so much food. Mm-hmm. And she raved about the food from the time we sat down. And she had said, she told me she had been following his story and she just loved his story mm-hmm. and his journey to his blackness and all this other stuff. But that food was so good. So shout out. So Marcus, if you are listening, bro, thank you.
Did you walk her down the bar wine or you just broke out?
No, because by the time we got up, not only had we eaten all the food, because also then Felipe Luciano from the Young Lords and formerly the Last Poets came and sat down. So,
oh shit, okay, like,
yeah, but both
it was
of them
a thing.
Like,
it was a thing.
They're revolutionaries, but they're also niggas, right? So it's like it's
really niggas, jokes,
like wild jokes, a lot of drinks, a lot of drinks. So like by the time we got up, it was like everybody
time,
go to the car.
Time to go.
Everybody goes to the car. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Cool, I got a couple of quick shout outs.
Okay.
Firstly to the next generation that's doing the cookouts. Because we have real sodas.
Amen. They don't do shout that out.
All right, Ivy.
All right.
Shout out to you.
So I had a Pepsi with mango, and it was delicious. It was unbelievable.
I saw that.
Shout out to the previous administration, 45, for fucking up immigration so much that they didn't have people to pick crabs this season. So they crab cake for $40.
Is that why it was so
expensive?
Damn.
Yeah,
I saw
a story on, I think it was CBS Sunday Morning. It was a farmer, young guy too, young white guy in Oregon, and he has a huge farm, and one of the crops that they grow is asparagus. And again, because of lack of people to work because of 45, like fucking up immigration and sending ICE sending ICE on everybody who wasn't working. So they got no workers. He had to have people come from the town and just pick the asparagus and just take it. Cause he was like, it's gonna go bad. Just come take our shit because it's just gonna sit in the ground and go bad. Yeah, that the ripple effect of what, and I think we talked about this on the show early, but the ripple effect of what that motherfucker did to immigration is killing. It's killing so many.
Killing so many
and he was
industry.
Trying to basically bribe them by that's why he kept giving them money.
Yeah.
But it's like, yo, bro, the money's cool, but I have crops.
I need the labor.
Here. Yeah.
The crab industry in the Chesapeake Bay, like if you don't farm that immediately, like the crabs get overgrown.
Exactly.
The fish stop, like it's a whole ecosystem.
It's a whole thing.
And for reference, last year I paid $26 for the same crab.
Wow.
So
wow.
I was like, I mean, I paid it because what the fuck? They're
but like, but now it's double. It's
fucking
but I didn't buy crab cakes for the house. Like, I bought one crab cake.
And you kept pushing.
A crab cake.
And crab cake.
Singular.
Cake.
Yeah, so I went to Kentucky to see my family for the 4th. Had a great time. Just doing the family thing. Nothing else. Just seeing family. Went and visited. With, my old cousins, and then went to my Aunt Kat's house, the people there, and then we had a gathering on Sunday. I found a vegan restaurant in Lexington, Kentucky. The dude who actually owns it is from Harlem. He's from Harlem.
They were so worried about you.
I was worried too.
I was very worried.
The first day I had Chipotle, because, you can vegan up Chipotle. But I was like, I was telling you on the text, I was like, I can't eat this every day. This is a one-er. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm going to do next? And then I went to the gym, and then I was just kind of, after the gym, I was scrolling and I just saw it. It's called The Social Vegan. I went by there and obviously black owned. The guy's from Harlem. He's been living in Kentucky for a little bit. Still comes back and forth. He's actually having a party at Corner Social on the 24th. And he was like, yo, you got to come to my party. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm in town. I'll come by. But his food was excellent. It was really good. He's got the hottest vegan spot in Lexington. So we connected and that was dope. Then I went by the Kroger.
I mean, is that difficult though? Like, is that a really
hot it's not a huge pleasure. There's like four or five joints. There's four or five joints, but the issue is all the other joints close mad early. They close, one closes at 2. One closes at 4. I'm like, how the fuck are they making money? He stays over till 11 at night, so he's popping. In this little kind of new market. It's their version of what would be like Chelsea Marketplace they have. They took an old bus station and like put businesses in there. Anyway, so that was great. Then I went by the Kroger with my cousins on Sunday to pick up the pop and the meat for the cookout. And I bought the Beyond Burger. Burgers and Beyond Sausage,
and you actually put them on the grill.
They hooked it up for me. They hooked it up. It was good too. They put it on a little separate plate, so I wouldn't be touching the real meat.
Did anybody else eat it?
No, hell no. No, of course I was not. Only one. Yeah, was, everybody else was like, oh, you doing that? And they go, okay, cool. But, you know, we over here with this beef and this chicken.
They were like, that's been gone up.
Oh, yeah. Tons of grub. Again, just, you know, nice to be with the family. I got a lot of younger cousins that I'm still trying to figure out who they are and how we're related because there's so many of them. So I got to see them, spend a lot of time with them and spend a lot of time with the old eldest too. And took a lot of pictures and just had a nice, you know, great relaxing weekend. I love to go down there. I made it a point to start to try to go more, obviously, because the elders always, of course, are getting
older. Right.
And I don't want to go for funerals. I mean, I will go for the funeral, but I don't want
that to be the only reason.
Exactly. I want to go when everybody's alive and we're chilling and we're not have this cloud over our heads because we got to go to this service. So yeah. I'm trying to make it a point to go, you know, as regularly as possible, you know, while everybody's still here. And I just want to give one more shout out. So there was we had the gathering in a park, right? And the park has a shelter. Well, it's like, I guess for lack of a better term, it's called a shelter, but it's like a building, right? And it was air conditioned, which is great. So the elders could stay in there because it was hot that day. So it was air conditioned. Everybody's chilling, having the food, blah, blah, blah. And then it was like a shade house and, you know, basketball courts. And so the youngers gathered under the shade house. So I went over there at one point, and I was like, yo, who's who? Because I don't know, not quite sure who are you? You know, so like, oh, I'm your cousin. I'm your cousin so-and-so's daughter and so-and-so.
Right.
Cool. Right. So there was a little girl sitting there, right? And I was like, well, who are you? And she's like, well, I'm just kind of here. And I was like, well, you got to be related to some kind of way. Like, I was waiting. She's like, well, I'm just kind of hanging out. And I was like, oh, me? She's just a shy cousin. So I went and sat with my younger cousin, be talking. And one of my cousins, Alma, who's always got a lot to say. She's like, Jeffrey, that girl's not related to us. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, see, that girl ain't related to us. So this girl, she's about 15. She saw us at the park.
She literally was just there.
She saw us at the park from down the street. She lived down the street.
Right.
She rode her skateboard up to the park because she saw us there. And she hung out with us all day.
That's hilarious.
She ate. I asked her to take some pictures with my camera.
But she had to earn her keep. That was fun.
She had to earn her keep. And then at the end, she asked my cousin, my cousin's Glenn, she's like, when are y'all doing this again?
Yeah.
Because I need to come back. So I don't even know her name.
But that's hilarious.
She's a sweet girl, very polite, you know, and you know, you don't know what's happening in her house. And maybe she needed that energy. And maybe, obviously, her family wasn't cooking out because she wouldn't have came out. So peace to that girl, you know.
You
so
made a play cousin.
I made a play cousin.
Yeah, that's such a southern, but it's like what you call it. It's like poetic justice where they just walk up. They like cousin.
Yeah. So it was beautiful, man. I was happy for that for her because like I said, you don't know. I mean, that girl might have just needed that energy for that day. Maybe. You know, things might be tough for her, and I'm glad we were able to provide it, you know? Let's jump in real quick. I just want to mention the Love and Marriage Huntsville trailer.
Bruh.
Oh, wow.
Them niggas
is out here. It's side babies being revealed.
Listen, peace to outside babies, because I met some new family that we didn't know was family for the last two decades.
God
and they
bless
started
my
to do them ancestry joints, and they like, oh, this is Candace's son. Oh, okay. Oh,
but yeah.
Come get a blackberry ginger ale.
God bless my grandfather, my mother's father, who has an outside child that we haven't met. I think one of her brothers met. So peace to her and wherever she's at. You know what I'm saying? But Love and Hip Marriage Huntsville trailer was a lot of fireworks. And it starts this Saturday, right? Yeah, this Saturday.
I have no idea.
Yeah, Saturday. It starts Saturday. So a lot of fireworks happening. And we will be reviewing that.
So it's like all the other shows.
No.
I'm just saying it's like all the other shows except they went to school.
Yes. Okay. But I always say that though, bro. You know I always say that. I always say that's one of the things that I like about this show. Same with the Married to the Medicine is that these is your cousin's from aunts or whatever from down south who got the nice house and the cars and look sparkly, but they give you that peek behind that shit ain't sweet as it looks.
It's just the same shit, right? Like
it's the same shit.
They just dealing with the same shit. They just in 3,500 square feet.
Yeah, they in 5,700 square feet with a Range Rover.
That's my baseline.
Yes.
Shopping at Harold Penner and not Fashion Nova.
There you go.
Yes.
But it's the same
shit. It's still some outside shit.
Good times.
It's cheating.
Credit's still fucked up.
Maybe they're actually married instead of only alleged.
That's something you say that's interesting, bro. We don't know everything that goes on in people's lives, but I noticed that the Love and Marriage Huntsville people, they don't seem to travel. Like, I don't ever see them talking about taking, like, vacations. It's always around Huntsville. Niggas don't go nowhere.
Does it have to do with production, though?
If you went to Alabama, it's time to travel. You're not going nowhere.
Yeah, true. That's true. Mexico is, like, a million miles away to you.
Yeah, what is even the airport that's closest to
you? You have to get to Atlanta. You'd have to drive over to Hartsfield and catch up some from there. I wanted to mention again. We missed last week's, so a lot of things happened. I wanted to mention also Meghan McCain is leaving The View.
Bye, bitch.
I have not been able to find, and I have a question. Is she leaving or are they not renewing her? Because that's not the same thing.
Yeah, well, they definitely kept that gray.
Right. She says she's not returning. It may be a gracious way of them letting her say that when, in fact, they're not renewing her contract. But either way, it's time. Like, they always do have a conservative voice, but it's time for her ass to go.
Because she wasn't even just the conservative voice. She's a fucking asshole. Being a conservative voice is one thing.
Yeah, it's the conservative voice, because Elizabeth Hasselbeck was on there, and like she was annoying, but we tolerated her because she let you finish.
Regular white lady annoying.
She was not like disrespecting Whoopi Goldberg every week and trying to talk over people. And like, it was just too much.
What I read was that they got a new producers on the show, and Sonny, Whoopi, and I'm sure Joy went to the new, because the old producers were like, we don't give a fuck, she's a lightning rod, she draws people in, and we're never letting her go, period, end. The old producers were like, we don't care how disrespectful she gets, we're never letting her go. The new producers came in. I don't remember why they made a switch, but the new producers came in, and Whoopi, Joy, and Sonny went to the new producers and was like, yo, either you let her go or we're leaving, because we can't take it no more, because I'm sure the disrespect bleeds over to off camera as well. So they're like, yo, we cannot fuck with her no more. And the new producers acquiesced and was like, yeah, well, let's make a change. That's what I read.
It was an easy, that sounds very reasonable, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds very believable. It's also, they're not going out on a limb by not renewing her, right? Like, we also know, and we're watching the shift in the tide change and how news is consumed. And mm-hmm. we recognize that as that administration has left office, that people are not necessarily looking to consume this sort of firebrand ridiculousness.
Yes. Yes.
And it's moving from mainstream, places to more niche.
Yes.
Websites or more niche places.
Yeah.
And that's really what this is about, right?
Meghan has no purpose and no position because, you know, she still served a purpose during the Trump administration because she was a conservative who was anti-Trump and because Trump was always talking shit about her dad. But now?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're a producer, right, like this is a great move for you, right? Because you gain some level of traction with your stars of the show, right? Mm-hmm. And you're losing nothing here, right? Yeah. And yeah, the reality is that engagement matters. We know this from how we've, you know, been dealing with people all the time. So yeah, this is you know, whether or not people agreed with Megan, they were going in on her on Twitter, which is engagement. They were reposting her clips, which is engagement. Like, I, we don't know how to say this more. You know, we've watched this with Chef Twitter battles. It is engagement that trumps everything. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, she'll be, listen, she'll be fine. She's got a famous last name. She's a white woman.
She probably already got a gig.
No one's concerned about where she goes next.
She'll pop on here and there. She'll go to CPAC and do, you know, speeches. And let's not forget, like, John McCain died. He was worth 100 M. He was worth 100 M. So she's Gucci. She's totally fine.
Also, that show is going to be fine. This is the 24th or 25th season. So whoever they bring on, white women during the day who have nothing better to do are still going to tune in.
People forget is like The View preceded all these motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
Like this whole
talk, with Barbara.
The talk, the this, the that. Even
it's the
though
blueprint.
I've stopped watching it over the years. I used to be a fan. And sometimes I am like, do we really still need to keep this bitch going? But, you know, people still watch it. The ratings are still there. You know, people still trust it. It's still respected. Even though it's come a long way from its original iteration. But it'll be fine. It'll all be fine.
Yeah, it'll be good. I actually want to just mention, I haven't been able to dig in, but Lovecraft Country was canceled by, it was on Netflix, right?
By HBO.
HBO.
Well, HBO.
I didn't know that it was canceled versus
there was no
more story.
It was never renewed. Well, yeah, so canceled might be the wrong term.
Not necessarily. One book, though.
No, what are they saying? Was that based on economics? Or go ahead, bro.
Well, no, but they did not specify. What they did specify was that, from what I understood, was the writer had begun to write season two. Now, I don't know if that was still based off the book or what, but they had begun the process of starting season two. It seems to me that they did that prior to getting an official pickup. They were probably doing this. That's not uncommon, right? Like, when you're kind of on a borderline, you know, obviously you have these sort of positive thinking and positive reinforcement and like, hey, if they do decide to come and pull the trigger on this, I'd like to be ready. I don't want to be behind the eight ball. So it's not uncommon for people to start sort of pre-production early on processing before they get an official green light. And I mean, usually you'll get your pickup, or, you know, what their plans are going to be before your season ends, or at least not shortly after. And because it kind of lingered, you know, there could be a lot of reasons. There may have been change in leadership in the positions that, you know, championed for this show. That happens. We know that from record labels. You know, that executive that championed,
people bring their new people in.
It's gone, nigga. And you about to get this. You about to get this little bit of change, and then you're gonna get dropped, right?
Yeah.
And that's that. And we don't know what to tell you. So yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it sounded really weird because one of the articles I read, it said that the actors, I think Jonathan is the actor's
Jonathan Majors.
Yeah, Jonathan Majors and Jonay
Smollett.
Yeah, they started to like block off time, which I thought was very weird because they're working actors though, right? Like these are not actors. Like they're not chilling.
Jonathan's Jonathan's good.
So I think that might have been a play for PR and agents to make people feel a little more obligated to kind of put this process through, because I cannot imagine a reputable agent blocking off time for a working actor for a maybe.
Yeah.
Let me see what might happen.
Yeah. Let me get back to you.
You know, it doesn't really work that way on that level, but you know, maybe that was the case. But yeah, I didn't like the show. It wasn't really my bag. It wasn't that I thought the show was bad. It wasn't my thing. It seemed to be very expensive. So I definitely would probably think, economics played a role in this. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, this is what happens.
Yeah. And I know, and Misha Jones, who wrote this show, it just got a big deal with Apple TV. So maybe she's, gonna, I don't know if she's going to bring that over there, but she'll be, you know, doing something at Apple TV. Apple TV is trying to really get in the game here because
I get the feeling, Apple TV is a fresh start place and not a revamp place.
Mm.
So they'll probably leave that. They'll probably leave that property to HBO, you know, and at some point, you know, HBO might come back, you know, they might come back and say, we want to do something later on or some shit like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Who knows? So, you know, well, you know, we had one good season. It was dope while it lasted. I wanted to also mention, and actually I thought about, you know what? No one thing we haven't mentioned, and I think you gals will, You ladies,
Kentucky coming out.
He's there, yeah. You know, I'm sidebar. Like, I was in Kentucky, so and I've been there all my life, so I knew it was country. But I don't know. The country hit me harder this time. I was like, it's really
because you old.
Maybe that's what it is. I was like, it's really country down this motherfucker. God damn, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know. But anyway. I wanted to mention this Britney Spears stuff. We've never talked about this.
Oh, yeah, we haven't.
Free Britney.
The conservatorship and all the things that are kind of happening with that. If we did mention it, I'm sorry we mentioned it again, but I don't think we did. I think we mentioned her documentary, but I don't I don't think we mentioned anything else. So the story kind of keeps morphing and developing. So Britney's in this really weird conservatorship where her father, Jamie Spears, is running her life literally down to whether she can get off birth control. Yeah. Like, literally.
Because conservatorship basically
says, like, you're a nut job and you can't decide nothing on your own. Yeah,
that you literally can't make any decisions. So, I mean, even though it's somebody in her family, sometimes these people are court appointed, which is even worse because they have control of your credit cards. They have
all like that movie, I Care a Lot, where anybody can kind of get like a conservatorship of you.
The first time I was really aware of how deep it was in the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series of books, the chick Lizbeth, the main protagonist. She had a conservator because she's a sociopath. But anyway, but Jamie's had this conservatorship over her since that period of time. Sorry, that's the street sweeper. Since that period of time when we all felt like we were seeing Britney go crazy. And
around 2007.
Yeah, and I think because she's toured since then, et cetera, we knew something wasn't right, but we didn't know how bad it was, right?
Yes.
And she's in court because she's trying to get out of her conservatorship. But even in that, like, her lawyers aren't her lawyers. They're court-appointed attorneys. Like, there's nobody really involved in her side that really
has her back. Really has her back, her best interest, yeah.
Exactly. And conservatorships are very hard to get out of once you're in them.
Yeah.
And because these people control so many different aspects of your life that if your conservator is not motivated to help you get out of it, they can make it very easy for you to just stay in it. And that's what she's saying happened with her dad, that he keeps her drugged, which is why she seems loopy.
Keeps her working when she doesn't want to work because she made a ton of money at that Vegas residency, but she was ready to stop it, and he kept extending it because she was making so much bread, which is why now I remember clips of like Britney performing on stage, just literally walking through it, like literally just like blah 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 blah. But now I get it because she didn't want to be there.
You don't want to be there.
You know,
like she can't be alone with her boyfriend. You know, he forced her to get
something with the kids too.
Well, Kevin has custody of the kids. He always has, but her dad forced her to get an IUD.
Yeah,
and which that is just horrific.
That's horrific. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's
horrific. Because Britney's in her 30s, right? Like
Britney might be in her 40s.
I think she turned 40 or 41.
Forced her to get an IUD. You know, wouldn't let her basically like having any more children was completely off the table. So she was forced. It's like a forced sterilization, basically, right?
Insane.
You know, she can't be with her boyfriend. She was like, literally, I just want like my boyfriend to be able to drive me in his car, you know, like that type of thing. She and fans have been on. I know fans, a lot of fans feel vindicated because for the past year, especially the kind of Free Britney campaign has picked up a lot of steam.
Especially after the documentary.
Yeah, journalists have been covering it. But even before the doc came out, fans would do stuff like they would post in her Instagram comments like, Britney, wear yellow with a blue hair bow tomorrow if you need help. And she show up on Instagram the next day with a yellow shirt and blue hair bow.
Wow, like, wow, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It was getting to that, right? And that's why the Free Britney, because people was like, she's not well. And she was like starting to kind of send distress signals out through Instagram. And it had been a while since I really looked at her Instagram. But I remember last year looking at it for the first time in a long time. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Hey.
And now looking backwards, it's even obviously even clearer. It's like, holy shit, because we have more information now, like you said, about the conservatorship and the doc and blah, blah. And now it's like, whoa, this shit ain't funny at all. This shit's fucked up, you know?
Totally fucked up.
I can't imagine being a 100 millionaire and I got to ask somebody to use my debit card to
get groceries. I don't think she even really leaves the house like that, you know?
It doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Awful.
Yeah, and they showed that in the doc too. Obviously, like her fame hit a peak where she couldn't even go anywhere. Like she just, as soon as she got in the car, like the paparazzi would swarm her car like bees. It was crazy. So I don't, you know, she's, look, I mean, you know, she's not impoverished or anything like that. But all things being said, you know, even with the money and, you know, I'm sure the big, beautiful home, she's still living a miserable life.
Yeah, she doesn't have any control of her own life. She barely gets to see her kids, and you know, because the kids are like, hey, Ivy, the kids are like teenagers and shit, right?
Yeah, they're grown. Like, they're kids. They moving and grooming. So it's tough for her, man. It's tough for her. I just wanted to mention real quick something I just saw pop across the timeline. I'm not going to talk about it because I want to dig in a little deeper later. But I guess so. They had the CPAC CPAC convention this week. I think it was in Denver? Wherever. It doesn't matter. At CPAC convention this week. And I guess Caitlyn Jenner spoke and was heckled.
Good, actually.
No, but it's like, okay, you thought it was sweet, Caitlyn Jenner.
Right.
You thought it was sweet. And then you got in front of them, the people that you think you represent, and they shitted on you.
Right.
Thought it was sweet and they heckled you from the stage because and called you all kind of names because you're trans. So all that shit you talking, fuck you.
She needed that reminder. Listen, they're terrible people, conservatives in there and their bigotry.
And like Sean said, they're getting more and more, it's getting so far.
They are. They're getting more marginalized. I mean, all you got to do is look at the fact like that there are members of K-9 in the fucking Congress, and that tells you all you need to know. But Caitlyn needed a reminder. Like, it's to me, and I realize I'm not a member of the trans community, so if I'm speaking out of turn, forgive me, but it's no different than when we say Black people need some reminders of who the fuck they are in mixed company, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They not for you, they not with you.
They
not your people.
At all.
Your people. You try. This is a situation in which I feel like Caitlyn feels like she can still move as Bruce.
Yes.
And she can't.
Yes. 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 Yeah. Exactly. I want to mention space travel. So Richard Branson went to what he said is the edge of space yesterday. Jeff Bezos is going soon, real soon. He got a rocket that he built and he's shooting to space. And I see a lot of people on the social media saying, oh, these billionaire dudes, they just must be bored and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, look, bro, that's not why they're going. They're not going, they're not burning money just because they got it. That's not, I believe, it's okay, and this is Jeffrey Sledge talking, so the government, if you're going to kick in somebody's door, kick in my door, leave these other Black folks on here alone, it's on me.
Yes.
I believe that. And I'm just talking shit because I don't know this. But my theory is...
That's the race for colonization.
Yes. And I believe that the plan initially was to colonize the moon.
Yep.
But we went to...
This is new for
I know, but you still, you know, it's not actually air quotes finger quotes confirmed. The plan was to colonize the moon, which is why Russia and the U.S. were in this battle, you know, decades ago to do that. I believe that went up there. I think there's shit up there that's still kind of moving and grooving, but it's not livable. Because it never made sense to me that they had this huge, huge race to get to the moon, and then we just stopped. We didn't go no more.
It's not livable. We still go. We all have space stations up there. The thing is,
okay. Come on with your conspiracy theory.
I had to actually dial my conspiracy theory back, right? Because I was on a two-parter. I mean, think about it. Since the days of the since we had the mid-century bunkers and shit, right? Mm-hmm. When people were preparing for nuclear war. Mm-hmm. The most famous people, and it happens in every disaster movie, the most famous people already have like their plan carved out. It's either some underground terrain where they've been growing crops and fucking creating a water hydration system, and they can take 300 people and everybody pay for their spot or whatever. So I was like, of course the rich motherfuckers are trying to do it in space. And I think there have even been a couple of movies where they were like plotting those things out. But I dialed my conspiracy theories back just a little bit because this woman who's either she has, I want to say either her boyfriend is like a aeronautics engineer or has been part of a space team or something like that. She was saying that life on space stations is far less sexy than we think it is.
I'm sure it is.
And we're like lifetimes away from getting to a place where there can actually be a community.
You're like
a,
yeah.
Who lives in even just in a space station, let alone on a planet. And I believe that, because if you think about it, like anytime we see movies where it's like, we're sending these 250 people to the moon, it's like, okay, it's going to take you 82,000 years to get there. So we're going to put you on Cairo sleep. So we're still a long way, not to the moon, but you know, to some planet.
And to some faraway planet.
So we're still a long way away, but I definitely feel like that's what these niggas is on. Because all the money in the world. You got James Cameron trying to see how far deep he can go in the ocean, but that's not really an option because the pressure's too
dark.
And it's too dark and it's too cold, right?
Yeah.
And space is the same, but at least you can chart where you're trying to get to before you get there, which we can't do with the ocean floor the same way because we don't know what the fuck is down there.
Yeah, we know what's down there. I believe there's aliens down there too, but like that's
100%.
That's a different discussion. But anyway, so look at bruh face. But anyway, so now these guys are doing this stuff, and I remember last couple of years we've been doing the Mars missions. Now I believe that's the next plan. Maybe we can colonize Mars. It's not that far, all things being considered. We can get there, you know, in a decent amount of time, and the atmosphere is closer to the Earth's atmosphere.
Nigga sound like he talking about Atlanta.
Yeah, ain't that far. You get in the van and drive. Down to the drive
over there by the moon, and then you'll be all right.
I took it down to Virginia, and then Earl took it on in from there. Good time, you leave. It's a back road now. There's Route 13 going up. You miss all the lights. So anyway, so I'm just saying that to say, Bezos, Branson, and others are not doing this shit just because.
Right.
The reasoning behind why they're doing, these multi-billionaire men, white men, are doing this. They're not doing it just because they have nothing else to do.
Up, I do believe the first time they go up is mostly just to be like, nigga, I got a spaceship and I went to space. I believe the first one is that.
There's some level of flexing.
The same reason James Cameron himself had to go to the bottom.
Nigga, what else could you flex?
It ain't gonna be cars and houses.
Like my 178-foot yacht versus your 178.5-foot yacht. Like at some point,
yeah, I was like, it's like, nigga, my spaceship got this. What's your spaceship got? So I
I got a spaceship.
But they're gonna act like it's in the name of
with rims.
Research and development and shit because they want to feel important, and especially. What you call it? What's Tesla man's name? Him.
Elon Musk.
Yeah, especially Elon, Musk. You know, thinks he's changing the world and shit. But
like, he's another one setting ships up.
Yeah, but and that's what there's a joke that and her name is Casey. I'm so fucking old and tired. I be forgetting everybody's name. But there's a joke that, what's the comedian, the lesbian?
The lesbian.
The black girl.
Sam J.
This old black person moment was brought to you.
The lesbian with the short haircut. The black one. So anyway, Sam J has a joke which was funny as shit to me, which is like, the thing that bothers her about Alon is that Alon be just going up to space on random ass Tuesdays, and she's like, no, nigga, the day to go to space is Saturday. Like, that's crazy. How you just going to space? Who do you check in with for permission? Don't you have to ask somebody permission?
Yeah. Going up on a Thursday and not telling nobody.
Everything except for what I want them to do with these billions of dollars.
Right.
I need Richard Branson to reopen Virgin Air America because that shit was lit. I need Elon to sit down somewhere or maybe do another Saturday Night Live because his was very good.
It was actually surprisingly good, right?
It was good. I need all of them to get on a Sprinter and get their papers and ride over to the IRS. Since they don't know what to do with these billions of dollars,
pay some goddamn taxes,
and leave us alone.
Yeah.
I will say that at least Bezos, before he did this shit, at least he made an attempt to act like he's moving into a philanthropic space and committed some money to Food Bank America, whatever it is, and towards a climate change initiative. But he's not on like a Warren Buffett level yet.
His wife is giving away wild
paper.
His ex-wife
gave away so much money, she made more money from giving money away.
But with all the money he has, like, he really got to step his shit up on his giving. Like, I don't think he's yet, I don't know if we've ever talked about this here, but Buffett and the Gates started this thing called the pledge. Is it called the billionaire's pledge? It's called the something that means rich people pledge, where you basically promise to give away the majority of your wealth to charity. So like Robert Smith has signed it, like most, and it's not just Americans. It's like they've approached most of the like highest wealth billionaires in the world to make a commitment to do so. So it's like really a thing, like, okay, I'm going to actually structure a giving plan so that by X number of years after my death, like 80% of my wealth has been.
Is out. And it still leaves wallpaper left. With even 20% of what they have is
like,
wallpaper.
It still leaves enough for like 4 or 5 generations to be.
That's what I'm saying. It's crazy. Yeah. So I just wanted to mention that. Also, you know, actually, bro, I had thought about, and it just ran through my brain because I was just moving too fast. I thought about actually asking if your wife could have popped on for this. I just wanted to, because I wanted to mention the Haitian president getting assassinated. And, you know, but obviously she can't now, but I have meant to ask you that. But I just find this story fascinating because, first of all, a president got assassinated, like, you know, like in his home, in his bed.
Yes.
Him and his family. And,
he was killed. His wife was wounded.
Okay,
was
wounded. Shot. Okay.
His children were unharmed. His son was tied up and his daughter was unharmed. She hid in a closet.
Okay. I thought the wife died. But I'm glad she didn't, but
there were reports. I'm not, you're not bugging. Because there were initial reports that she was shot, and then there was another stream of information that said she died.
Yeah.
And that seems to be untrue, that she had been medevaced over to a hospital in Florida.
Okay.
And she was receiving treatment there.
Okay. This is just a fascinating story. And then I saw a clip on, I don't know, somewhere on social media of the team, I guess that's what they're calling it, the team of people who came to who did the assassination. And it really threw me because I'm like, okay, this definitely was not, these people were hired. Like they were like Latin. They were like, you know, there was a couple of Americans in there. You might know more about this than me, but I just found
There's a couple of things. There's been massive conflicts of information. So one of the stories that I listened to and read was from the Times. They talked about.
Yeah, I heard about that on the podcast, right?
50 mercenaries that rolled up on that house. Mm-hmm. So the idea that this was just like the movies, where it's like five guys in the dark that come in.
No.
And it was not that. It was a massive show of force. And apparently they had DEA hats.
Mm-hmm.
And they screamed DEA. Yeah, mm-hmm. They screamed DEA, which basically, to some degree, like disarmed the initial guards and allowed them into the house.
Mm-hmm.
Long and the short of it is, they get into the house at 1:30 and they kill the president and shoot him several times. Like, this was not no two to the head. This was not like this was he got shot like 12 times.
It's a massacre. Yeah.
And so it was very interesting because the woman on the podcast said a gun battle ensued. And I was like, a gun battle would suggest that someone else was firing back. Like, so I don't know if that was just she just misspoke or if there was other information. Again, this is all from all over the place. The Haitian Americans that they're talking about, I wouldn't necessarily put too much stock into that because it's not uncommon for Haitians to be citizens, but actually have their lives in Haiti. Mm-hmm. I was born here, but I've lived in Haiti since I was three. They're a citizen, but they're not, So they have a suspect right now. They just arrested a doctor based in Miami. They found massive evidence on his raid. Apparently the two Haitian guys are basically talking and saying that they were, for the most part, they were not in the room when the president was killed, and two, they had been acting as translators.
Mm.
Apparently Colombia had a massive civil war, so they have these incredibly trained guerrilla soldiers, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
And they have been a hot commodity on the private contracting circuit. Mm-hmm. So they've been getting jobs basically as mercenaries, right?
Yeah,
like you go around and you do these security gigs and these really, really volatile places, Yemen, Iraq, Haiti. And apparently the doctor in this particular article hired the security company that outsourced to these particular guys.
Okay.
So they're just linking all of this together. And apparently this was a play for him to become president and for him to enact himself into. So again, there's a lot going on. We all know the history of Haiti in that there has been consistent interference in this
volatile
republic. There's been consistent interference in this republic since its inception, right? We all know that.
Yeah.
We can also acknowledge that there's been a ton of corruption and there is a ton of misinformation that comes from the Haitian government.
Absolutely.
And you also have to take that with a grain of salt. So I think both things can be true.
And both things are true.
And I think that this is the one thing I will say is that no country wants to be the country in which the head of state was killed in his bed. Like that is a massive, like you just can't. I mean, have we had assassinations? Yes, we've had assassinations in theaters. We've had assassinations in, parade routes.
In the street,
Like, no one has fucking made their way into the White House
and
ran up in the bedroom. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is just beyond comprehension. And what was crazy was that they, now they're obviously suggesting that there had been help from the inside. The first thing I thought was, well, how did they know he was asleep? Right? Like, how do you, like, just for the pure thing of going after a target, right? Like, the idea is that the target is going to be unassuming. Like, you can just not assume that someone is asleep at 1:30 in the morning. Like, you might fucking run into a gun, right? Like, you don't know that.
Yeah.
So how do you know that? And apparently the home was set with a panic room. So not all, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Where was the panic room?
It's very fishy.
there's a lot of information swirling around. And this was not a beloved president. Let's also put that on the table.
Yeah, and also because he lose the election, but he refused to leave. No.
He won the election. It was recognized by the international community as a fair and square election and that he won. Except when he won, there was about a year long back and forth about the results of the election.
Yes.
So in his mind,
he's saying, my shit starts now, not
my yet. Shit. Yeah, like you can't take the year from me that I like we were embroiled in this thing saying that I wasn't the president. Right. Yeah. And so what he did was he started to change the constitution. He was trying to change the constitution. Mm-hmm. He was talking about, heavily taxing the oligarchs and the people who are basically run Haiti, like most countries, right? Like you got 5, 6, maybe 10 families that basically fucking run everything.
Your wild paper, yeah.
Yeah, so they were saying that it could have been, one of them, and we don't know what that link is to this doctor, but the long and the short of it, unfortunately, the man was, killed in his home. His wife is probably going to have significant injuries. They did not kill the children, so that sounds to me like this was a clear cut of them going into that bedroom. If I had to guess, the wife may have resisted or did something that had, one of the guys fire at her and shoot her. Mm. That's the only thing I could think of because they would have, they were armed to the teeth.
Yeah.
They all left out of there. They did not seem to have a plan to escape because they basically dispersed. And there have been packs of Haitians basically finding these people and bringing them to the police. Mm-hmm. So they had the initial shootout in which they killed a couple of them. And since then, they've been finding them in like abandoned buildings or they've been in the woods and they've been all over the place. And, I guess they didn't make it to fucking Point Z to get the helicopter ride or whatever the fuck it was. So, it sounds to me completely sloppy, completely all over the place. They've already linked, companies that bought plane tickets and who bought the plane tickets for who. This is just the beginning. The FBI is involved now. They're asking for troop help on the ground. The U.S. is reneged on that right now. Obviously, they don't want the optics of looking like, they're coming in because, people will always suspect Americans.
Americans is behind this shit anyway. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's interesting. It's a story. I want to keep an eye on it. I want to talk about, I want to mention Nicole Hannah-Jones, who is a college professor, worked at the University of North Carolina, which she's an alum. And a very, very good.
Let's back it up. Cause it's more than that. So Nicole Hannah-Jones worked for New York Times.
Yeah, I was saying she's also a big time journalist.
I know, but her working for UNC was part of this. So that's why I said we got to back it up. She wasn't working for UNC. She was working for New York Times. She most recently came to prominence because she led the 1619 Project.
Mm-hmm.
And she also founded a program at UNC, the Ida B. Wells Initiative or something.
Yeah, Ida B. Wells. It is Ida B. Wells. Mm-hmm.
So one of the tenured chairs in UNC's journalism department approached her about coming to the Knight Chair, which is the Justice and Race and Journalism chair for the school. And it's a tenured chair. Anybody who's ever accepted this position comes in as a tenured professor, right? Mm-hmm. She went through the whole tenure track, did everything she had to do, lowered her responsibility level at the New York Times so that she could move back to North Carolina, got a place. Mm-hmm. And tenure process is long, even if you're coming in tenured.
Yeah, very long.
She was approved by the tenure board. She was supposed to start in January, but when the actual board of the school, she was approved by the tenure council or whatever they are. But when the board sat to vote, they did not put her application up for vote. And that was like, I guess, before the holiday break.
Then it's worth mentioning too that every single person that has held a position similar automatically gets tenure. Like, it's never
been everybody who's come in to this chair she's taking comes in tenured. Yeah. So they didn't put her application up. Not only did they not put her application, so it's not that they voted on it or rejected, they didn't even put it up for a vote. It was passed unanimously by the tenure committee. So they didn't put up for a vote. Provost didn't give a reason why. President didn't give a reason why. They had like two more meetings, didn't put it up for a vote. Then suddenly they come to, again, no explanation, no nothing. Then they come to her and they ask her instead to sign a 5-year contract with the potential for tenure in the future, which again is important because everybody who has ever taken this chair, the whole discussion about the chair, everything she was going through was about coming in as a tenured professor. So this is before all of us knew what was going on because she says she was so embarrassed because, you know, she had told the New York Times they had quotes ready to go for the press release.
Yeah, it was a done deal, basically, that, in my mind, as it should have been.
That she just signed the contract, like, fuck it, I'll do the 5 years. She didn't even make a thing about it. Now, what happened was when it came out that she had taken the professorship, the people who have been against her getting tenure, which was whatever the big funder, I have not committed his name to memory, but he's one of UNC's biggest funders and he's also conservative and he's been the biggest blocker for all of this shit because of 1619 project.
He's pissed off about the 1619 project.
Right, pissed off about 1619 project. He's one of the biggest funders for the journalism school specifically, which is ass backwards. Him and his people put out this really ugly missive about how like her entire position should be invalidated because they agreed that they wouldn't, you know, appoint her, and they appointed her anyway, mind you, not the tenure or whatever. And she had not publicly said any, she wasn't even aware of what it was. So she had not publicly said anything about anything. So they're like, you know, they weren't aware that, you know, they didn't okay her being appointed. And so it should be invalidated. So now the whole world knows, okay, we did not want her to get this tenure chair. And that's when it becomes
a national story. Yeah.
Right. So now under pressure, there's a student seat on the board. The student body president holds a seat on the board. It was the student seat that pushed them to actually convene to vote on this shit. Mm. And it was supposed to be an open session. It was supposed to be streamed. It was supposed to be open to students and but they closed it. Mm. And didn't stream it, didn't do shit, but they voted, but it was the last possible day they could have voted on it. Right? Yeah. And when they did it, I was like, what if she was just like, you know, I'm good, love, thanks. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm good, love, enjoy, right? Well, like,
not to skip a step, but correct me if I'm wrong, but there was also a point there where they kind of told her, well, you can take the gig and like almost like, and we'll get back to it later. And maybe
that's what she did. She signed a contract for 5 years.
Yeah.
And then with the potential of tenure later. Right? But but that's what triggered it. When she did that, the racist
opened up everything.
Y'all shouldn't have even gave her that. Yeah. We don't want her here at all. And that blew the whole shit up because they put that out publicly. And because she was like, I wasn't going to say anything about it. I was just, you know, I was mad, but I was going to pull forth. And the thing is, like, for you to be invited back as a tenured chair at your alma mater, right? A place you love, a place where obviously you want to go back to your alma mater to teach. But also, what's baffling about this is that declining to give her tenure for UNC is like saying you don't trust your own product, right? Like, this is somebody, this is your alumna, right?
But the thing is, they don't trust their own
product. The administration doesn't.
No, I mean,
they're scared of the money. But
the board, the guy who, you know, the guy blocking, he doesn't trust their own product. And this is a, kind of even like a bigger issue now is happening in American society. He don't trust his own product because he's like, these niggas don't know their place. That's basically what this is. Like,
but he's also anti-education in general, which is the other.
But the 1619 made him say, okay, we can't have it because this nigga don't know her place. And I don't want her in here telling other niggas to not know their place. That's really right. What the meat and the bones of it comes down to.
But it's also like, you know, there's this conservatives are anti-academic. They're anti, you know, they're anti-continuing education. They're anti all that shit, right? Because you get too many ideas when you do all that
makes us not know our place.
At an institution that started this Chapel Hill, I was like, y'all ain't embarrassed? Like, this is embarrassing, right? So they vote to approve the chair. And I was like, it would be beautiful if she didn't accept the shit. But tenure chair is hard. Like, it's hard to get tenure. And once you got it, you good. It's like joining a union. You know what I mean? Once you got it, you good.
And they still ain't tenure your man up Cornel West.
Exactly. So it's like, it's especially if you're Black, it's really hard to get tenure. Mm-hmm. And then an illustrious, you know, institution like UNC, because it comes with money. It comes with money for research. You can take time off to do what you want. You can write books. You can do whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. It's basically like you good.
You good for life. Yeah.
Good for life. So they finally give it to her. I felt a way, but I understood, because I was like, how do you work with these people, right? Yes. You just won a fucking Pulitzer, bitch. Like, how do you work? Like, 2 years ago, you won a Pulitzer. How do you work with these people who went through all kind of rigmarole to keep you out? You are one of the best and most well-respected journalists in the world, maybe right now.
But you know,
right?
But you know why? Before we get, you know, to what she did, because, and I'm not blaming her at all. What I'm saying is, how old is Nicole? About 50,
maybe 50, early 50s, late 40s.
Yeah. Late 40s, late 50s, right? So that generation up, especially, it's been drilled in our head. Even if these crackers are crazy, just get that good job, and then maybe you can work it from the inside, and maybe you can make a change. And again, I'm not saying she.
No, I get it.
I'm saying, but that's kind of a cultural thing, as you know, that we've been taught as Black folks forever. Mm-hmm. I don't know her, and I don't know if I'll ever get to meet her, but I'll go to my grave believing underneath it was a lot of that. Well,
she never said she was going to take it. That's the thing, right?
I know, even the fact that she thought about it was like, well, you know, it is tenure at the top of my mind. Maybe I could just, if I just get in there, and then I could just, you know, and I'm not, she's a brilliant woman. I'm not like dogging or anything, but I feel like that's what we've been taught to do.
But also, it was an internal conversation I was having with myself, because I also get it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, again, tenure is very hard. Regular ass white professors fight for tenure, right? Mm-hmm. So like a Black woman at Chapel Hill, obviously, and you know, you think about the change you could have on students, you think about
exactly, like you said,
the thing you waited, the way you would want to move on the inside. And so like a week after they finally vote, an announcement comes out that her and Ta-Nehisi are both joining Howard faculty, and they created a tenured chair for her there with the MacArthur grant.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, good on Howard for seeing that opportunity and getting that hustle together. Cause it's still a $25 million chair.
Yeah.
You know, so she's not taking, you know, a big pay hit or, you know, none of
she's
that.
Good. You know, they're good in DC. Good.
Yeah.
You know, and she did an interview with Gayle King on CBS and kind of announced it. And that was the only interview I think that she's done to date.
It's the only news. She did an exclusive interview with a local writer in North Carolina.
Okay.
And the LDF, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, was acting as her counsel. So they also broke the news on her behalf, like as her official representation.
Okay. But I'm happy for her. I'm happy for her and Ta-Nehisi, who is a Howard alum. For going back to a Black school and, you know, taking their talents to DC. It just feels, you know, it feels good. I'm sure that their students are ecstatic. These are going to be their professors, which is amazing. And it just, you know, felt good that, you know, this powerful Black woman who didn't, you know, go to a Black school as, you know, to recognize is my work, and my worth is could be used better here amongst my own. I loved how the story has ended up. And she told, I saw on the Gayle King interview, she said that she was going to be speaking to the students and to tell them how much that she, no, I'm lying. She said that she told the students before she made the announcement publicly, the students who were battling for her in North Carolina, because she didn't want them to be blindsided.
I love that she did that.
Yeah, I love that she did that. But I just like that she, I like that they're going to Howard, and, you know, peace to the HU students in the fall who are going to be taking these classes with these brilliant people.
Peace to Gayle King, who has become the, I guess, a storyteller for the community. Like, everyone kind of seeks her out to get their point across. And I love that for her.
Yeah, like we trust Gayle. So if we need to break a black story, like, we call Gayle, because we know, even with R. Kelly crazy ass, like, she just told the story. She just told the story. She didn't shade it one way or the other. Robin bugged the fuck out.
And I hate to say this, but I gotta say it. Amongst black TV personalities, right? We don't have a lot of black national, we don't have black national news anchors. Robin Roberts is not a journalist, right? She she was a sports journalist, but she's not like she's not a journalist. Like, Gayle went to
I feel like the closest we got recently was Tamron Hall.
Tamron Hall, possibly.
But she's now doing a talk show. She's not even doing that anymore.
Yeah, it's so whack, too. I want to say
Robin. Yeah.
Nah. What about Roland Martin?
Roland's on
National TV.
I said that. No, I said that because I want to see Bro get upset.
He's on the black equivalent of OAN right now. Nigga on Newsmax.
Right.
That nigga hosting the Black People Awards.
The Negro Awards.
And you know, Michael Eric Dyson was never a journalist. He was
His rhyming ass.
Now it's
my brother Tupac. Nigga. Oh, Jesus Christ.
So yeah,
he's relaxed.
Gayle is our black journalist on a who and she anchors a national, morning show. So yeah, that's who we got. But I think that we've forgotten.
I swear to God.
He breaking up right now.
You breaking up, bro.
He's frozen.
I think that we've forgotten between blogs and just like talk shows and stuff like that, what journalism actually looks like. Like, how mad people were when she interviewed, who did she interview? Was it Lisa Leslie? Who did she interview that she was asking about Kobe?
Lisa Leslie.
When people were like, I can't believe she kept asking. I was like, she ain't asked nothing bad at all. Like,
but you know what? That's the social media Instagramming of news, because now people are getting news from little clips that, Mark Lamont Hill posts or this one posts, and they looking at that, but it's, or the Shade Room or whatever. But it's like, nigga, that's not news. That's blurbs. You know, if you're going to be a real journalist, there's going to be tough questions to some people that look like you that you're going to have to ask.
And you're asking them without bias. You're asking them without, but you're going to ask them if they say they don't want an answer, and they say they don't want whatever. But if they give a half answer, you might ask again for clarity. That's not badgering. That's what the fuck you're supposed to
do. Journalism is, bro. Let's segue into, I know we mentioned Shikari last show.
I'm so sick of niggas from
Shikari. I just wanted to mention Shikari again because the story has kind of morphed since we last spoke about it. Because last we spoke about it, she was banned for running the 100, but there was still a possibility for her to run the relays. Now she's not running at all. She's not running in the Olympics at all. And this has caused a firestorm on, you know, social media, especially Black Twitter and so on, where now it's just some racism shit and, you know, it don't matter, we shouldn't matter and blah, 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 blah. And it got Puffy fucking saying dumb shit and other niggas saying dumb shit.
And people talking about if they let Michael Phelps swim. I just want to interject and say this.
Yeah, because that's not what happened.
There are so many false equivocal, whatever the fuck. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Equivalencies.
Yeah, equivalencies happening right now. The first thing everybody brings up is Michael Phelps. First of all, Michael Phelps actually had a harsher punishment than Sha'Carri. Michael did not test positive at all. He was suspended for a picture of him smoking, which he was doing after the 2018 games were already over. It wasn't even at a time where he was in competition where he had to be tested, because that was Michael's thing. He would be clean while he was training and testing.
And then he'd go get high.
And then he'd go party, which I imagine is what you kind of have to do in order to maintain that life. All right,
nigga, hey.
Because that's all the Olympics cares about. Are you, is shit in your system while you're competing?
Yes.
But Team USA was like, this is a bad look. Whatever, whatever. So he was suspended for 6 months. Not, Sha'Carri was suspended for 3. He was suspended for 6 months.
Oh, I thought it was 90 days. Oh, wow.
And he lost his Kellogg's endorsement. Then he got suspended again another time for getting a DUI. That might have been the one.
Oh,
that was,
I remember the DUI. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So Mike and Michael Phelps is going on record to say, like, once that happened, he was like, I guarantee you I've been tested more than almost any fucking athlete in this bitch. So that was Michael Phelps. There's another guy who got a gold in the Winter Olympics in like 98 or something from Canada, right? And they took it from him for testing positive and then they gave it back. Somebody tried to bring that up to me, but what happened with him was that year when because Canada got a lawyer on it immediately, the form that the Olympic Committee had the athlete sign said they could not have excessive amounts of THC in their system, right? Mm. And he had like 0.17 kilograms for milliliter, some shit. It was from a contact high. It was literally from a contact high. And they have since changed their, it was so little, their base now, because they have a minimum amount. Their minimum amount now is 10 times higher than what he tested positive for then. Because they realized that, like, again,
contact high.
He was like, I literally haven't been smoking, but my boy's house, who I was always over, they was always smoking.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, he's been in the country 2 days and he still has like that trace from a contact. So that's why they restored his gold, because actually the rule said it could not be an excessive amount. But then they changed the rules, right? So I'm like, everything y'all keep bringing up
is not
that. People, like, the name of the organization that puts the rules together is literally called the World Anti-Doping Association.
Yeah, it's not the U.S.
That's literally their name.
Yeah, it's not the U.S. Right. People want to kind of put on what's happening here. It's like, it's not about that. It's not what's happening in, you know, because it's legal in Colorado. It don't matter, bro. Right. It don't matter. And you know what? I'm not going to deal with the legalities. First of all, there's two things I want to say. First of all, the one person that has to complain is Sha'Carri.
At all.
She's like, I fucked up.
She's still part of Team USA.
She was with the Essie's having a good time, you know?
When she ends her suspension, she'll still be on Team USA. And I've been telling people, there's 60 other Black people on the USA track and field team.
That's
and
my
y'all
point.
Are just like, not to mention who we got in every other
sport.
Event.
Yeah.
And y'all just like, fuck.
Swimming. Fuck all them.
Because Sha'Carri actually broke the rule.
She actually broke the rule. And she hasn't complained once. Number two, her mom died, blah, blah. And obviously, like, that's a very emotional thing. I, as someone whose mother's passed away, I get that. But my point is, like, okay, nigga, so what's the bar, though? So then, can the other one smoke because their grandmother died? And can this one take Molly because the auntie died? And can this one take, you know, ecstasy? Let's deal with over-the-counter drugs.
That was what I was going to say.
Can this one take Oxy? Because
the THC, this is what, because people are like, this because I just want niggas to use Google just sometimes, right?
A little bit, a little bit.
Because the THC people like this shit. It's about speed and this and that. First of all, there's non-categories on the IOC list, right? It goes from blood doping to fucking hormones to stimulants, and THC is under a list with cannabinoids and something else, basically pain meds, right?
Mm.
And it's with like it's with oxy, and it's like the with the really heavy
perks and all that type of shit.
Really heavy pain meds and opiates and shit like that. So I'm like, okay, so you say that you allow THC, then, you know, because being able to alleviate pain, even though you're like, oh, it'll make you sleepy, but it also dulls your pain, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you can run injured, you can run whatever. So I'm like, all right, because I said that it's not as simple as the IOC. Well, first of all, it would never be as simple as the IOC saying we're going to let her run this year. That is not, it's 4,000 fucking athletes. 1 in 100 athletes usually ends up suspended for some kind of positive test because they go back and do the shit retroactively. Fucking Usain Bolt just lost a medal from fucking 08 because they realized that one of his
teammates, one of the teammates in the relay.
They go back and test retroactively and they got a positive from the 08 relay, right? So he just lost the gold. So that's how hard they go. But they're definitely not gonna be like, you can run this year. And then if they say, because I was like, it's a slippery slope, because if they let this slide, they can't uphold that standard across the board. And people were category of mess. So somebody else, it might not be weed, but they're going to be like, well, I'm taking this oxy. I'm taking this.
And you're the Shikari slide, so I slide. Like it's like,
so I get to go too.
Like you act like it's like Shikari.
I mean, fucking Yugoslavia, you ain't even thinking about.
Exactly. Like Shikari is like this special case, and she just keeps different set of rules, but everybody else don't.
Everybody also sounds like a hype beast. She's
it's
just
a hype
story
beast.
We know.
Exactly.
There are other girls who are, there are other black women who are having their first year. There are black men who are having their Olympic year. There are some who are having their last Olympic year.
Allison Simone Biles. Simone Manuel.
Allison Felix is having her last year. She just came back from having a fucking baby.
Just about to mention, like, this isn't even the story that we should be like putting all that exception energy into. If anything, it's Brianna McNeil who could not test because she had the abortion. And so they penalized her. She appealed it and they upheld the suspension for 5 years
because
she missed a drug
test.
That's the shit you should be putting your energy toward.
Yeah. And the other story to keep it going, Inka, is the swim cap story.
Yeah.
That's the story that we should be talking about.
And like the black women
can't wear swim caps.
And there are two Namibian runners who were disqualified because their natural testosterone.
I saw that too.
They were like, you need to pay. So I'm like, is the IOC often on some bullshit?
Absolutely.
But the other thing is, it's real easy to say because niggas are really like, well, the other athletes shouldn't participate. And this is one of those things where they're like,
get the fuck out of here.
We're trying to get in white spaces. I'm like, y'all, this is the fucking Olympics, right? This shit has been around for over 100 years.
Niggas were training for this since they were 13 years old. Are you kidding? About this,
the whole, like, the amount of money and time and effort that they have put to get to this stage.
Sacrifice.
It's real easy for us to be like, y'all just shouldn't compete.
Because this girl knowingly broke the rule.
Right. Or because the white people be tripping. You shouldn't compete at the highest level of athletic competition in the globe.
That I've been training for 20 years.
Only the most elite get to, that you devoted your whole life eating, breathing, waking, sleeping to. And I was asking on Twitter, like, how many of y'all would have given up your scholarship, would have declined your degree, or passed over a job because the institution did something you deemed unfair to somebody else?
Broke the rule.
None of y'all.
If that was the case, we'd all just be sitting on the floor for our whole lives.
Exactly.
Way
too much to boycott.
I'm like, how you going to be like, yo, y'all? So then my other thing was, for y'all Negroes, and this is not anti-Shikari, because once again, Shikari. None of this shit. Shikari is not saying, I want to run. Shikari is like, I get it. I broke the rules. I'm going to see y'all later. I'm going to be with my teammates. I'm good. She's fucking good, right? So y'all acting an ass for whatever reason, y'all fucking acting an ass with the let Shikari run shit, whatever. She don't even want to run. She's like, I broke the rules. I'm accepting it. But y'all Negroes here in the States, who feel like
let her run.
You're gonna quote unquote boycott. First of all, we have no demands. Are we boycotting for the IOC to let her run? Are we boycotting for the IOC to change their rules? Are we, but like nobody knows, but you're gonna quote unquote boycott the fucking Olympics, which is a 2 week long event.
I'm not trying to cut you off. 61 countries.
What do you think black people in the U.S. not watching? NBC have a contract for the next like 25 years.
I'm not trying to cut you off, but there's nary a nigga that is not going to be watching the fucking Olympics. With Simone Biles
not,
on that
they
TV.
Already weren't going to. Not in real time, anyway.
Yeah. And with Simone Biles get on that TV and black backflip 12 feet in the air, everybody will be on Twitter like, oh, shit. When Simone Manuel, God bless her, wins her race, her 400 by 100 race or whatever, niggas is going to be like, yes! Girl, yes, and so on and so on. So get the fuck out of here with this boycott shit. I'm tired of these niggas who just talking out the ass and the letter.
Y'all get on my nerves because none of my people who've been like it shouldn't even be on the list. Somebody was like, I ain't even know they had a list. I'm like,
then why are you talking, nigga?
Fucking
why are you talking?
Verify your information. That's all. That's all. That makes my head hurt. That's all.
I want to end it. I brought the jump. I think he had a call, so he's going to miss this. And I wanted him. I'm talking about this. Me and him was kind of debating this on Twitter. I want to end it with Rachel Nichols. So Rachel Nichols was caught on hot mic talking about
Maria Taylor.
Yeah. Who was a former, I think she played WNBA. She definitely played college basketball. She's really good, actually.
She played college basketball. Now, I would say she played a couple of different sports. Maybe not professionally.
I believe she played in the WNBA role. But anyway, but now she's become a journalist, and she's really great at her job. Beautiful woman, really smart, intelligent. She does basketball because that's her sport. And she's moved up the ranks nicely at ESPN. And from what I could gather, and I'm great, so correct me if I'm wrong, Rachel Nichols was basically kind of saying that the prime gig on the NBA Finals was supposed to be hers. It felt like it was told to her. Yeah, it was kind of told to her, this is your gig.
Right.
And then, you know, a lot of things have happened, Black Lives Matter and so on, so happened. This is what she's just anyway.
Yeah.
That because of this stuff, Black Lives Matter and ESPN has a...
And public pressure for diversity.
Yes, because ESPN has a shitty track record in diversity and giving black people the top slots. See Jamel Hill, see Michael Smith, see Carrie Champion and others. And so they Rachel Nichols insinuated that they gave Maria Taylor that slot over her because of outside pressures.
Right. There's on some diversity shit. And was kind of like, and was basically kind of like just basically expressing like
her frustration.
Pick of this shit, right?
And it wasn't towards Maria. And that's where I kind of veered from a lot of people. People made Rachel Nichols the villain here. And what she said, you know, was she white womaning? Yes. 100%. But I took it as, she was mad at ESPN and their bullshit, not Maria. That's how I took it.
But she's still mad at ESPN because she's like, because her assumption is that Maria wasn't qualified. Now I can understand being frustrated because it was like, you're going to get the job. But what I think that this doesn't take into consideration is that, yes, Maria probably did get bumped into the spot due to public pressure, but Maria has probably been overlooked times. Sure. And that's what people don't understand, right? All the folks that have been moved into position because companies realized that they needed to have some, you know, black folks in the C-suite or some black folks who are visible. Yes, they did it now because it was timely now.
But how many times they shitted on before?
Have been shitted on so many times, right? So it's not a matter of what. Meanwhile, Rachel Nichols is Diane Sawyer's fucking stepdaughter or whatever.
Daughter-in-law.
So it's like, and has never been an athlete, right?
No,
so it's
but I'll say to Rachel's credit now, you know, I'm not white woman caping per se, but Rachel's been doing this for a long time. Like, it's not like she just started, like, longer than Maria. And I think that's what she's kind of saying. Like, I've been doing this shit mad long.
You cannot make an argument about the merit of other people getting their now. Listen, nah, you cannot make an argument on merit when you are Diane Sawyer's daughter. You just cannot.
Daughter-in-law.
I don't care. Nigga, not. Period.
But she didn't start off that. No, listen.
Let me say this.
For transparency's sake, I worked with Rachel's husband, Max Nichols, for a long time at Jive. He's my guy, right? And so I know a bit about Rachel's story. When Max and Rachel got together, when Max was in like camp, like they known each other for. So in other words, Rachel's been through this process way before kind of Diane was kind of, you know.
Nigga, Diane been Diane for fucking.
No, what I'm saying is Rachel went through the whole process. She didn't.
Right.
Okay. She's been through a long process. That's what I'm saying. And I know I'm probably going to catch a lot
of. I'm not saying that Rachel's not qualified. I am saying that Rachel is family of one of the most respected female journalists in the entire fucking business.
This is true.
Ever. We cannot ignore the access.
Who is also an ABC. Okay. Who is also an ABC asset, and ESPN is an ABC company, right? Okay. Diane Sawyer was an ABC anchor. So I'm just saying that. I'm not saying that's the only reason Rachel Nichols got in. I'm just saying you can't overlook.
It might not hurt.
Now the part that didn't help was that whoever the fuck she was talking to was added in the whole, yeah, between the Black Lives Matter and the Me Too, I mean, shit. And she was kind of like, haha, yeah, right? That did not help. That definitely didn't help. That didn't help. So I think with Rachel, the thing
is... Let me just say one thing. I just, again, and maybe I'm looking at this wrong, and I'm sure I'm going to catch a lot of nigga, you tripping vibes. But what I... When she said the Black Lives Matter thing, what I took was like, they're full of shit. Like, they're doing this Black Lives Matter shit because they think they have to. Like they don't fucking care. That's how I took it. She's like,
still, as a white person, you can't really just be like, I mean, here's the thing. Am I surprised that white people had that conversation privately? Absolutely the fuck not, right? Okay. At all. But the flip side is, we have them conversations about white people all the time because they do bullshit all the time. And I think that's the thing is, like, there's this idea that, like, all of a sudden Black folks and women are somehow getting over when, in fact, it's just that we've been shitted on all this time. Yes. So now you're kind of forced to actually acknowledge that we fucking are here and need the shot, right? But what further did not help, and this one's on ESPN, is that the only person who got any retribution for any of this shit is the chick who actually gave the video to Maria. She was suspended for 2 weeks without pay. And yes,
That's whack.
And she's Black. Which
of course.
Right?
That's whack.
So they need to repair that. But as far as Rachel, do I think Rachel Nichols is a racist white woman? No. Do I think she is actually biased and probably has some, like, she has an unconscious bias and a little bit of bigotry?
Probably.
Do I think that she doesn't believe that Maria is as good as she is? Absolutely. And that's actually the problem, is that your assumption is, even if, not just that you were told you get the job, but your assumption is this person wouldn't even be in consideration if not for all this, which she might not have been, but it wouldn't have been because she wasn't qualified. It would have been because Rachel Nichols is fucking Diane Sawyer's daughter-in-law, and she's a white woman, and she's more palatable in front of the screen instead of Marie Taylor, who can give the color and whatever have you. So that's why Rachel got caught up. Okay. And apparently, initially doubled down before she gave an apology. I don't remember all of that part.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Inka, you got 30. I know you have a lot to say about this too, so I'm gonna give you a little of the platform. You run with your shit.
I don't, though. I don't have a lot to say. I just want to say, like, you lose your ability to question anyone else's talent for getting where they are, whatever. You know, people do this. Like, you have held a position for a long time, and then the hot new chick comes in, and you're like, well, what the fuck? Don't give her more, you know, screen time or whatever than me. Mm. But you lose all of that when you are you've been given access to the entertainment industry and, you know, through your affiliations. Like, you just don't get to say it. That sense of entitlement is what pissed me off.
What irks you is her verbalizing it.
Well, you don't at all. Like, you
well, she didn't verbalize it because Maria of that. But it was a hot mic. It wasn't like she actually verbalized that it was a hot mic.
But it's also kind of a thing of like there has to be some self-awareness of like, you know, I can't even really be mad because I got a leg up here or there. You know what I'm saying? Like, because the other thing is, at the end of the day, regardless of whether you get the NBA final gig or not, boo, you gonna be all right. Like, you gonna be all right.
She good.
It's not gonna be a hit for you. It would be great to see, and I know it's asking a lot of humanity and of people to be like, you know what? Fuck it. I can sacrifice this much. She deserves the shot. Because it's not like they moved her into a fucking nighttime anchor position. It was the fucking finals. You know what I'm saying?
Maria is dope, but she's doing a great job. Right. She's doing a great job.
Rachel Nichols is not on that broadcast.
Yeah, she's not on the finals.
At all.
A black woman that's courtside and a black woman that's the anchor.
That's what it was. They wanted Rachel to do the sideline, and she was like, fuck out of here. And so now they got Malika Andrews is her name. She's doing the sideline.
But also, that's so dumb, because the only person that I know is
you. So dumb.
To be on the sideline. Like, that's the look that I feel like would be better. Spot. Like, I'm not turning into ESPN from the finals. I'm watching whoever's on ABC on the court. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
You're so dumb.
Dumb. Are you dumb?
Yeah. So, this bled over into from that hot mic. It bled over into corporate America. Politics, black people politics, because ESPN is obviously corporate America, and it bled into what black people, I think black women probably more than black men statistically deal with daily.
This is the kind of shit that we get at work from white women.
This is what I'm saying.
White women are the biggest enemy.
Oh my God. They're the fucking worst. And not only, like, when I was in, it wasn't, like, corporate. I was a store manager for, like, a kind of upscale store. I had to explain to my regional manager, like, yo, no, I can't staff this store with, like, these older aspirational white women that you want to work here, because white women don't want to work for me. They don't feel like I got my position, you know,
because I'm good.
They think they just needed a black person to run this store.
So you're saying older white woman wouldn't even take a job if you offered it to them?
The applications dried up.
Word.
I was hiring college kids, like a couple of white college kids and stuff like that. But it was like older black women that were working for me.
Because the older white ladies like, I ain't working.
The white ladies left.
She bounced.
I inherited the store. Like, they were gone. And I had a staff of like 20 people.
That's crazy.
So I had like four white chicks, and then most of the other ones, they were like black or, you know.
Well, good that you brought in this black people, but that's crazy that the white ladies just left.
Yo, white ladies?
Yeah.
Here's the thing about white ladies. If white ladies can take credit for your rise, if they can be like, oh, I took her under my wing and I taught her everything, then they're fine, right? Mm-hmm. They're fine with your ascent if they can say, I did that. You know, the white savior shit.
Yep.
If you good on your own and you actually don't need them,
I hate that.
You don't need to learn anything from them, and you don't need them to put their arm around you and help you, then you are a fucking threat.
Yeah, they can't take credit for you. Then it's like
they allyship for them is savior shit. Like I will never understand it. And honestly, I will take asshole ass white men any day of the week over white men, women, because they at least are predictable. White women are completely unpredictable. You never know which fucking direction they're going to go with their shit. They could be completely evil and undermine your whole shit. They could bust out crying. They could fucking smile on your face. Go tell HR that they felt threatened. Like, you never, with men, they wear it all over their face. You know exactly, like, it's, there's no, like, you know exactly what it is. Even if they piss you off, you get it face front. Women,
you don't know what the fuck is
going on. They'll be like, girl, it's all. You're so talented, and I just think you're so amazing. And then they go to whomever and be like,
get her the fuck out of here.
Impressive.
Yep.
I don't understand. She interrupts and she's done. Like, it's yep. Yeah. They are the fucking enemy. 100%.
Interesting. So,
if any white women are listening, I'm sorry. Listen, I've also had some really great white women that I work for, but for the most part, they have been the bane of my motherfucking existence my entire corporate career.
It's the entitlement.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me.
For me.
Yo, please tell me you caught Potomac last night.
I saw some. But I saw the end. Oh. I saw Karen go ham on fucking Giselle.
Lit her ass up.
From Hampton University. That was brutal.
Glorious.
And this is episode one?
Episode one.
And old girl
showed off her new titties. That was
and old girl. And old girl's married to a fucking 70-year-old man?
68.
Yeah.
Her no, age is a little
the play funny. With them trying to do the math was the funniest shit.
Because she said...
I know you, she was like,
he's 38 years older than me. And then they were like... And then she said he's 68. They were like... Because they were looking at her like, bitch, I know you ain't 30. So then they were like, well, how old are you? She, well, I'm 38. So that means that he's 30... No, she's 36. She was like, 36. Okay, so maybe he's actually 30 years older than me. And they were like, how old are you? It was like a 36. Okay, no, bitch, he's 32. He's like, how is this? How hard is this?
Let me tell you,
like,
is she lying about her age?
I think she's lying about her age, and I think she's lied about his age.
His age,
I think that nigga is 38 years older than her. I think that nigga's 72. And she shaved it down. You don't make up that out of nowhere. You've been married to this nigga forever. You don't know how much older he is.
I'm here for Mia. Shake that shit up. I'm here for it. Happy to the plastic surgery.
She's counting the days till that nigga dies.
That nigga gonna be dead.
Yeah. Wendy, who obviously had a BBL but is not copping to it.
Come on, girl, what are we doing?
Like, can we just
stop?
Clearly, you had three children. You got a tune-up. It's fine.
Yeah.
Stop.
You look amazing. It's good work.
Yeah, it's fine.
I want black women to get more comfortable at admitting they have black women who aren't entertainers, models, or dancers to get more comfortable copping to the fact that they had work done.
They're work done.
Yeah, because there's a lot of entertainers that's going to doctors in northern Baltimore. Says,
white women will tell you, they'll tell you about the doctor, they'll send you a referral,
I'll call for you, I'll set up an appointment.
Yeah, he does great work. Look, you can't even
see mine. Touch him.
Touch him, make him feel real. Yeah.
Meanwhile, black girls, we on Instagram talking about, look at their exercise. Get the fuck out of here. First of all, your waist is this skinny, but your body's mush.
Right.
So you ain't been in the gym. You got no waist, but no muscles. Your shit is like marshmallow. Your arms is like jello. But you tell me you've been in the gym. You're lying. Shorty, you're lying.
Not jello.
You still got the spillover from the over here. And come on, Ma, you're lying. Anyway, I'm sorry because I don't want to get into the dogging woman thing. The last thing I want to mention
is, it was amazing. And then Married to Med reunion was fire.
Yeah,
it was
hard
to watch, but like,
yeah, it was hard. Yeah, yeah. But I think we got some stuff out on the table, and I think there's more stuff coming. And then I want to mention two things. We're going to wrap up TV things. I don't know if you saw, there's a show coming out called What If.
Mm-hmm.
It's an animated show. It's on Disney Channel. It's about the Disney, the Marvel Universe and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what if? So like, there's like, what if Killmonger didn't die?
Didn't get that whatever.
Exactly. Then what would have happened? It looks incredible. So that's coming on real soon. And I just got to mention Ready to Love. Season ended. It was a mess.
I caught the first part of Reunion, but
you didn't catch the second part.
I've been in the streets, so I haven't been watching TV.
Kyra gets her comeuppance. Kyra's
ass was in the Huntsville, Alabama trailer.
We got Carlos King crossover. Peace to Carlos King. He's a messy motherfucker, but he knows how to do a reality show.
I'm for it.
Yeah. So on that note, we're going to wrap it up. Everybody stay safe in the streets because the streets are wide open.
Yeah, I'm about to dial the streets back. I'm exhausted. I'm not going. My intention this week is to not go further than the bodega if I can fucking help. That's my goal.
It's lit. It is fully lit for the summer of 2021.
Outside is taxing.
Yeah, it's a lot. I just posted that before we got like, I really miss my quarantine bank account. I miss it.
Yeah, because you're going outside, you're spending that paper, you're taking Ubers, you're moving around.
Oh my God,
Air Max is warm to the touch. I'm not getting on
the train. The Ubers are
taxing.
Uber's eating. Uber's eating lovely.
Uber Eats.
Oh, yeah.
Are not cute right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because it's hot enough.
That's so what happened with the crab cake. They wanted to charge me $9.95 to deliver it.
Wow. So
not only $40,
but $10
I had to drive my ass downtown for that $10. Yeah, nah. I didn't do it.
Nah.
Anyways.
So on that note, yeah, so y'all stay safe and we will see y'all next week.
Later.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.